You notice that we gave Dr. Guns the chair of honor, his rightful place. He set the pace and he set the good foundation on Friday night. And we heard him say it again and again, work, work, work. Many of the things that he said I hope to say this afternoon, so I may not say all the things I was going to say this afternoon, but I want to underline one thought above all other thoughts that I want to share with you, and it is the word steadfast. 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 Shall we open our Bibles to a very familiar passage in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter, a passage I'm sure you could quote by memory, but let's just look at it in the Word of God. And come in at verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And the Lord will bless his word as he promised to each of our hearts. And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. How often I fear at times that those words are applied rather glibly, even to us as assemblies of God's people. And we say perhaps too lightly, yes, we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. But as we listen to these words, familiar words to our hearts today, we find that that which we have read is that which should characterize us. Each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, each one who has gladly received the word, received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are to do what this early church did, and that is continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And thus, as we look at the word of God this evening, the thought that is predominant in my mind is the character and conduct of these believers. And the character and conduct that we see concerning them in this verse that we've just read together and I've repeated twice already. Like Brother Garnes on Friday night, I will make no apology for repeating and repeating certain statements again and again and yet again. And as we listen to this, we're introduced to the character and conduct of these people. And the supreme character and conduct, as we look at this verse in particular, is summed up in that thought, they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. And the steadfastness is manifest in our text this morning in a fourfold way. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayer. And thus these four things are but a manifestation of the steadfastness in their hearts, their steadfastness of purpose, their steadfastness of practice. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now here is the foundation. Here is that which is doctrinal. Here is that which pertains to instruction. Here is that which pertains to the teaching of the Word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. Because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in prayer. Thus, these last three things, fellowship, breaking in bread, and prayer, is a manifestation and an evidence that they did what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. For these three things are part of the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' teaching. If you like to consider it in a very simple way, and it's perhaps oversimplification, we think of the apostles' doctrine, and immediately that introduces us to doctrine. And then we think of fellowship, we think of breaking of bread, and we think of prayer, and that brings before us duty. And think we're one, and it is instruction, and the other is the implementation of the instruction. because they continued steadfastly in the teaching of the Word of God, they must of necessity, to do that, continue steadfastly in fellowship. Continue steadfastly in breaking of bread. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Thus, when we go through the Word of God, we find doctrine is not given just that we might know doctrine. So we must know doctrine. Doctrine is the fundamental. Doctrine is the foundation. Doctrine, I sometimes say, is like the bones in my body. If I had no bones in my body would have no structure. And I'd be a blob of jelly on the platform. You would like to look at that. Bones give structure to a being. But of course, at the same point, you wouldn't like to see a skeleton standing on the platform this afternoon. And thus you put the flesh on the bones, and you put the flesh on the doctrine, and you see the unfolding of the doctrine in the life of the person that says, I believe the doctrine of Scripture. I believe the Word of God. I continue in the Apostles' teaching. And I say, prove it. Prove it by your life. Prove it by your actions. And so we listen to this, and we read, they continued steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine. If you're reading a modern translation, they continued steadfastly in the Apostles' teaching, and you and I know it as the Word of God. And I believe we're living in a day when we as assemblies of God's people desperately need to continue steadfastly in the Apostles' teaching. For alas, many assembly is departing from the truth of the Word of God. Many assembly is casting aside the truths that we've held dear as assemblies of God's people because the doctrine we believe and have practiced over these years, and you what's this, the 81st? 81 years is the doctrine of Scripture. Hold fast the doctrine of the Word of God. And so I say there's a desperate need for us to manifest steadfastness in the acceptance and practice of the Apostles' doctrine. Likewise, there's a desperate need to indeed continue steadfastly in fellowship. Alas, many are departing from the fellowship of the saints. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and we need to indeed be found gathered together in fellowship. We'll take this up in more detail in but a moment. They continued steadfastly, not only in fellowship, they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. Some continue more bedfast than steadfast with regard to being at the breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayer. Now I'm going to stop preaching and start meddling. Do we continue steadfastly in prayer? I go to different assemblies and I sometimes say, how many are in fellowship? And they say, well, so and so number, and they can be any number, doesn't matter the number. And they say, oh, we have so many in fellowship, we'll break bread. I say, wait a minute. I didn't ask you how many break bread. How many are in fellowship? Well, they said, I just told you, we have so many in fellowship, we'll break bread. I say, how many do you have in the prayer meeting? Big difference. If we continue steadfastly in the Apostles' teaching, we will only continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread, we'll continue steadfastly in the prayer meeting as well. And we have a desperate need, thus, to continue steadfastly in these things. So we stop just to ask a number of questions. Children ask questions, and that's how children learn. We don't learn because we don't like to ask questions, because we don't want anyone to know we don't know. Ask and you shall receive, and that could be applied in more ways than one. And I asked the first question, who continued steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers? And the Word of God gives us the answer, they that gladly received the Word. They that gladly received the message that Peter had proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. They that had gladly received the glorious message of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They that had gladly received the message of the gospel, they that had put themselves under the very authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they that gladly received the word. And this is fundamental. For if it were possible to do the other things, that is, to continue in fellowship, to continue in breaking of bread and continue in prayers, without first having received the word of grace, the word of the gospel, without having first received the Lord Jesus Christ, it would all be a sham. It would all be a pretense. It would all be absolute hypocrisy. More than that, I believe, unless we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't continue steadfastly in fellowship. We won't continue steadfastly in breaking of bread. We won't continue steadfastly in prayer. But I pause to say that fundamentally, we come to the Word of God, and as we ask the question, who? And the answer comes, they that gladly receive the Word. I ask you this afternoon, who are gathered here and singing lustily and looking so beautiful, have you received the Word of God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? For if you haven't, all your gathering together here, unless you do, is absolutely worthless. They that gladly receive the Word are they that continued steadfastly in these things. I've already answered my second question, but just for the sake of order and structure in my approach to this subject today, I ask not just who continued steadfastly, but why did they continue steadfastly? And the answer, as I've said again and again, even in the last 2 minutes, because they had gladly received the Word. They had become into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had become His disciples. They had become His followers. And as they had put themselves, as it were, under the very authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had done that, they did what we are stressing this day. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread. And so we look at these words, and we ask my third question, and I'm passing over these questions and answers quite quickly, for they're but the skeleton, and I want to put some flesh onto the bones. And the question that I find myself asking is, what or how did they continue? You say you've told us this again and again and again. And I said I'm taking a page out of Dr. Garn's notebook this afternoon, and I'm going to say it again. How did they continue? They continued steadfastly. I love Dr. Campbell Morgan's translation of that word. He says they continued with obstinate persistence, allowing nothing or no one to stop them continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, allowing nothing or no one to stop them continuing steadfastly in fellowship, allowing nothing or no one to continue them to stop them continuing steadfastly in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued with obstinate persistence. If you don't know what obstinate persistence is, and my apology to Brother Pickering, see, an Irishman and a Scotsman arguing a doctrinal point. It's an eye-opener. Obstinate persistence. Neither will yield an inch. And you see the obstinate persistence. As we come to this, we look at the Word of God. And I ask, do I continue with obstinate persistence in the Apostles' teaching? Allowing nothing or no one to stop me following the Word of God. Many today are saying, well, you know, you have to water things down if you want the people to come in. You better not stress a head covering, because if you do, some of the sisters will take offense. And you better not tell the sisters to be quiet because, well, you know, woman's lib. Wait a minute. We look at the Word of God and we find ourselves as Christians who are glad to receive the Word are to be governed by what? The opinions of man? No. The culture of the day? No. Oh, by the way, I'm glad to see so many head coverings here this afternoon. But you know, some people say, well, it was cultural. If anyone ever tells you a head covering, sister, is cultural, come to the Word of God. Why do you wear a head covering? For the sake of the angels. Has their culture changed? No, of course it hasn't. It's the same today as it was in days of old. They continued with obstinate persistence, allowing nothing or no one to stop them pursuing that which they found taught in the Word of God. Nothing would be allowed to hinder them continuing in the Apostles' doctrine. On Friday evening, amongst the many texts that our Brother Garnes turned to, was that one, if my memory serves me right, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast. The word steadfast is an interesting word. It can be translated by different words. It has the connotation of absolute faithfulness. It is the connotation of stickability, if that is a word. I think it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it's one of the words I made up. Stick-to-itiveness. Here, as you look at this, it's sticking to and not yielding, but continuing steadfastly, unmovable, with obstinate persistence. They continued steadfastly, unmovable. Unmovable has the other thought than steadfastness, but unmovable has the thought of faithfulness even in the midst of opposition. They continued steadfastly, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you weren't here on Friday night, you missed it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, there's something exciting about someone that is abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember the building of the wall? And one of the names says, he earnestly repaired. He earnestly repaired. God doesn't just take notice of what we do. God takes notice of how we do it. How do you do the work of the Lord? Grudgingly? Half-heartedly? Or do we do it as the early church continues steadfastly, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in that they knew that their labor was not in vain in the Lord? But as we look at these verses, and time moves fast, and two brethren have yet to speak this afternoon, we ask the question, what did they continue steadfastly in? And the word of God is very simple and plain. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayer. And it is the thought of continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine that perhaps is all we're going to have time to think of at this junction of our conference even this day. And so we pause and slow and reflect and recollect and muse and meditate. And we listen again to the simple statement, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the Word of God. They put themselves under the instruction of God's Word and practiced that which they had been instructed by and through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and the servants of the apostles. I already alluded to the fact the doctrine is not given just that we might know doctrine. So I will say again, we need to know doctrine. We need to be rooted and grounded in the doctrine of the Word of God. But to illustrate, and the Bible is always its best illustrator, isn't it? The Bible is always its best commentary as well. And as we think of what I'm trying to share with you, go in your mind to that majestic passage. I can't say it more strongly, that majestic passage concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. What a doctrinal passage pertaining to the person, the worth, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why is it there in Philippians chapter 2? That we might know he was in the form of God, that he might know that he took upon himself the form of a servant? No. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The passage is presented not that we might know doctrine, period, but knowing the doctrine concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might let that which we see in him, in the doctrine concerning him, be in us. And here is perhaps the thought that is heaviest on my heart today. It is not simply knowing the doctrine, but living the doctrine. Not just knowing the truth, but living the truth. not just saying, I have faith, but as James says, show me your faith by your works. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They put themselves under the authority of the Lord, even as Saul of Tarsus did on the day of his conversion. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Later on, known now as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice what I said there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Word of God, and you've heard me say this in grace because I ministered unto Timothy for 8 weeks. Never in the Word of God does Paul call himself the Apostle Paul. Never. He calls himself Paul, an apostle. It's a big distinction. The Apostle Paul. Oh, that sounds pompous, doesn't it? Boy, I'm a bigwig. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He never uses the word apostle as a title. He uses it as a description. And we shouldn't use Pastor Smith or Pastor Jones as a title. Brother Jones, a pastor. Elder Brown. No. Brother Brown, an elder. There's a distinction between a title and a description. How did I get off on that? Well, never mind. Let's come back. We look at this, they placed themselves under the authority, even as Paul did on the day of his conversion. And we listen to him later on, and he says, what? For me to live is Christ. Thus, as we look at the Word of God, we're introduced to what it means as individuals to practice the doctrine of the Scriptures. Maybe I can clarify it better by going in our minds to Romans, where we find that we've been crucified with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, and because we have been that in Christ Jesus, we are what? Raised to walk in newness of life. Therefore, if I believe the doctrine that I have been crucified with Christ, I have been buried with Christ, I have been raised with Christ, I will do what? I will walk in newness of life. Ephesians is the great book on this, isn't it? Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk in love, walk in light, walk circumspectly. Our walk is to be different if we are practicing the doctrine of the Word of God. So we say we believe, but do we behave what we believe? We say this, but do we live what we say? And this is what we find in the early church. And if we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it will affect our individual life. I came across a tract. No, it's actually a calendar. It's one of the daily bread, one of the calendars that you tear off every day. This one is put out with the quote-unquote more strict assemblies. And the text is, "And everything, whatever you may do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him." In all the ways we serve, whether in word or in deed, everything is to be done with the name of Christ as our signature. It is hard to be stingy with one another in the name of Christ. It's difficult to put down a brother or a sister in the name of Christ. It is impossible to run away from the needs of other Christians in the name of Christ. How do we measure up? Do our words and actions exhibit His signature? When I read that back in July the 4th, it was a word to my own heart. How can I gossip about a child of God in the name of Christ? How can I do that? No way. How can I do that thing in the name of Christ? Can you do everything you do in the name of Christ? Oh boy. Here I go again. I don't know why I do it, but I do meddle sometimes. Can you wear that mini skirt, dear sister, in the name of Christ? Dear brother, can you come into the assembly as though you're going to a picnic in the name of Christ? I don't think so. We look at the Word of God, and if we continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine, continue steadfastly in the teaching of the Word of God to us individually, then we must do what? We must live what we indeed say we believe. We say we believe the Word of God, we have to live by the Word of God. If we continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine, it will not only affect our individual life, it will affect our family life. I was reading in the book of Ephesians in my own meditation, and it linked in with what I wanted to share with you this afternoon, and I'm thinking, of course, of that glorious passage with regard to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read in Ephesians, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we go into that chapter and we hear that wonderful expression that he might wash us with the washing of water, that he might present us a bride without spot in that coming day. And we have this great doctrinal passage with regards to the church and Christ and the church. But then we look a little bit closer, and what do we find? Doctrine is given there again for duty, isn't it? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If I am to follow the apostles' doctrine, I will do what? I will love my wife even as Christ loved the church, if that is possible, and I doubt if it is in measure. But you see what I'm trying to say. We look at the Word of God, and if we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it will not only affect my individual life, that so whatsoever I do, I will do unto the Lord. Brother Garland said strong words on Friday night. Whatsoever I do, we do unto the Lord. Whether it's sweeping the streets or whether it's doing something. Whatever we do, we're doing as unto the Lord. And as I think of this, what the Spirit of God said to my heart on Friday night, I can't divide my life into two compartments. Secular and spiritual. You can't do that. Because our whole life is spiritual. For whatever we do, we are doing unto the Lord. And if it's done unto the Lord, it's a spiritual exercise. But here we look at this. Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. And then the Word of God says to us, we're husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And of course, we could go on to the reverse of the coin. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband. Even as Christ is subject unto the Father, and the church is subject unto him. Oh, you see, it's one thing to say, yes, I continue steadfastly in breaking of bread. It's one thing to say, yes, I continue steadfastly in fellowship. It's one thing to say, I continue steadfastly in prayer. But here we're coming down to the nitty-gritties. Here we're coming to where the rubber meets the road. And do I continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine with regards to my individual life, with regards to my family life, with regards to my business life? Because the Word of God gives instruction to masters, and the Word of God gives instruction to servants. And if we were to do what the Word of God said, there would be less strife in the business world today. The Word of God, of course, as we think of the assembly of God's people, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine pertaining to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the apostles' doctrine centers in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the Word of God pertaining to the Son of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching with regard to their individual life, with regard to their family life, with regard to their business life, and with regard to their church life. And when we come into the rest of the text, and maybe we will tomorrow, if the Lord does lead on to follow this through, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastness. And the thought that I leave with you today is this. Am I steadfast? Do I remain steadfast in the things of the Lord? Do I remain steadfast in the work of the Lord? Am I dependable? And can others depend on me? Because I continue steadfastly, allowing nothing to stop me, to hinder me doing what God told me to do. I read a story some time ago now about a man, a godly man, who wrote to the drug company. And he said, I wonder if you can answer a question. Why do aspirins work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for headaches, but they don't work on Sunday? He wrote to the rubber company and he said, can you tell me why snow tires take people to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but they don't work on Sunday? They all with one consent began to make excuse. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. May the Lord enable us to be steadfast.